This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
Hi, I'm Will, and I created IQBar to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar, brain and body fuel. Millions of people rely on our protein bars and hydration mixes to win their day. Turns out Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, is one of them. We've teamed up with Chef Keller to craft a bar and hydration mix that marry world-class flavor with exceptional nutrition. Our special edition salted caramel chip bar delivers all the decadence of a fine dining dessert plus protein minus sugar and carbs. And our zero sugar yuzu mango hydration mix packs an authentic citrusy punch and a mental boost from lion's mane and magnesium. The best part? 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Total no-brainer.
Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQBar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101 Transformation. That's the name of the game. And here's where we aim to mine a few nuggets that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, even though it might at first seem a bit counterintuitive, just like a nightingale, a bird singing out in the dark. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and I am so pleased that you're here with me today because I have very exciting news. Now, long-time listeners might remember a wonderful guest, Alexia Leachman, came onto the show to talk about tocophobia, the extreme fear of pregnancy and childbirth. Well, that's the dictionary definition anyway, and how she helps women heal from it. Alexia is a world-leading expert in tocophobia. She's an author and the creator of Head Trash Clearance. She healed her own tocophobia and has developed a methodology that she now trains professionals in worldwide. Well, now she and I are collaborating on a very exciting initiative. We've joined forces to raise awareness of this deep anxiety disorder and have just launched Tick Tocophobia, a podcast, website, and YouTube channel. You'll find it all at ticktocophobia.com right now. So it seemed only right that we should celebrate the birth of this collaboration, brought into the world during my birthday week, oh yes, by Alexia coming back onto the show, and we recorded this just before the frenzy of our launch. Okay, well, I suppose that we should tell people where this all started, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
It did start at UK Health Radio. We were at a presenters meeting and I heard you talking about something which piqued my interest. So you know, maybe you can just tell us a little bit about that and how we got together.
Yeah, well, so I was also a presenter on UK Health Radio with my podcast, the Fear Free Childbirth podcast. And that whole podcast came about because of my own journey in conquering tocophobia. So tocophobia is the fear of pregnancy and birth, but it's not just, ooh, I'm a little bit scared. It's I'm terrified. And I'm so terrified that I'm going to go to any length to avoid pregnancy or birth. And so that's where all of my own work has come from, the result of healing that within myself. And so the podcast was about that. So at the presenters meeting, I was explaining, oh, you know, I've got this podcast and this is the main theme of the show, but we also talk about other pregnancy fears. And I think on mentioning what that was, and obviously I explained what tocophobia is because nobody has heard of it. Nobody knows what it is. When they hear that word, I just get sort of puzzled looks. So I always explain what it is. So it was in that moment when I kind of explained this is what it is. And I realized that I had it when I found out I was pregnant and I saw the pregnancy test and I just felt this terror engulf me. And I think when you heard me say that, something struck a chord in you. Was that the moment, AJ?
It was. And then we were talking about it. Well, I had to have you on my show. And so you very generously came on my show to talk about, and I suddenly realized that is my story too. That's my story too, except that I didn't heal it in time to go on to have children. But, yeah. You know, but it's had such an impact on my life. We will talk about that as we go through this this interview. But yeah, I suddenly thought, wow, that was exactly my experience. And I didn't know what it was. Nobody told me what it was. I just thought, well, that's a bit weird, but life goes on. You know, even through my early years, and I was 68 at the time when I actually found out that this was something that I had suffered from all my life, right?
And it wasn't one of trying, was it, either? It's like you've been on the healing journey for quite some time.
Exactly.
So the
exactly.
fact that it escaped your search and your efforts is also important here, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. So, you know, because tocophobia, which we want, we really love to change that name, just for now, we'll call it that. It doesn't just affect childbirth, your fear of childbirth. I, and I'm sure so many other people, just could not bring anything to fruition, could not birth anything into the world at all, anything that was creative. Now, it didn't mean to say I couldn't do a job, didn't mean to say that I, you know, didn't have a, didn't get into a profession and do reasonably well, or pretty well, some would say. But I couldn't actually birth anything of my own, any of my own creative juices. None of that was going out into the world. Thank you very much. That's far too scary. Except that, again, I didn't really recognize that that was what was going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just affects everything. Relationships, you know, your creativity, doing what it is that you really are here to do, you know, your life's purpose, you might say. And so it was just extraordinary when all the pieces fell into place. And yes, you're right. I've done so much work on myself over the years. Nothing touched the sides. Nothing touched the sides. There was always this knot of, I don't feel quite safe in my solar plexus. And I couldn't work. I couldn't get to where that was from. Just couldn't until we put a name on it. And suddenly it was ready to go and we got rid of it. Yeah.
And that's the importance. And that's really why I've been on a bit of a mission about raising awareness about tocophobia, because it's so under-recognized. It's also nobody's heard of it. And yes, it affects so many women. And for many, just knowing that what they're feeling has a name is the big moment for them, because now they realize they're not alone. Now they realize they're not just weird and crazy. And now they realize that, now it's got a name. They can start Googling it. They can start finding out about it. They can start connecting with others who suffer from it. They can start finding the support in terms of professionals that can help them. It opens up so much that was previously unavailable to them, but also was compounded by the fact that they felt like this was just them and they were broken in some way and there was something wrong with them. Not that this is a widespread mental health condition that a lot of women suffer from. And so the minute it's got a name, suddenly you're off to the races, suddenly you're in the game and you can start sorting this out. But until you have a name, you're lost in the woods, right? You have nowhere, no direction, no sense of where to go, and it just feels like you're in the dark.
Absolutely. And men can suffer as well. It's not just women, although predominantly women, I guess. But so then fast forward a year, just over a year, and I'm sort of, you know, I went through a bit of a challenging year in 2024. But it was January of this year, 2025, when we were both suddenly thinking, oh, we haven't been in touch for a while. I wonder how the other's doing. And you sent me an email. I said, oh, heaven's sake, I was just thinking about you and thinking the same thing. Got together, had a conversation, and then, we realized that we both really wanted to do something to change the lives of people who have this issue, this deep-seated anxiety that impacts so much of a person's life. And and so now maybe you should explain what we're about to launch, well, what we have just launched into the world.
So it's a new podcast called Tocophobia, and it's bringing that message to women and to families everywhere, couples, anybody really that suffers from anxiety, that thinks they may want to have a family in the future, but also those that are grappling with this, because it is such a widespread condition that affects women of all ages, and yet it is just not recognized. And it's not recognized among healthcare professionals. So we really want to educate the world about this. And what I find really beautiful about our stories is that we have these two perspectives where I was able to identify what was going on for me and then heal it, but you weren't. So it's almost like a sliding doors moment where, go through the left door where you figure out what it is and heal it, go through the left, the other door, and you don't. And this is how things can be if you don't. And so, but then when you finally got round to healing it, you really noticed how much it shifted for you and what some of that, what not healing it meant too. And I think that's an important perspective to share with women because they might not, when you're in the throes of fear and anxiety and depression, it can be really hard to find the resource, the energy, the mental energy, the motivation to move forward and heal and to get past it. Because sometimes it can feel much easier to just stay where you are and accept it. And that's also a very difficult place to be. But it's really to kind of really show them that there's the grass is greener when you do face up to this. There are healing opportunities available to you if you want them. And when you do heal it, this is how things can be for you. And if you don't, this is how things can be for you. And to be really honest about that, because we need to be honest about these situations, because this is a mental health condition that affects so many women and has such an impact on families, on that the mental health of that woman throughout her whole life, and how and what she ends up doing with her life or not, as you have discovered, you've realized with hindsight how much this was affecting you. But at the time, you probably didn't realize. And so it's really shining a light on that so that other women can learn from our experiences and hopefully get inspired to take a step forward on their own healing journey. So that's why we're doing what we're doing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's, I mean, it is a great contrast, our two stories about how you have gone on to have two lovely children. All fantastic. I mean, you had to get over the tocophobia or the fear first, but having done that, you've created a family which is just beautiful. And then for me, yeah, it was weird. There was an element of grief when I realized what had been going on in my life, and having cleared that, there was an upswelling of grief, which passed through. That was fine, but it's understandable because when I look back at what was possible and what was kept from me, of course I was going to have grief, of course. And there'd been hints of it in the past when I went through menopause. I remember thinking, okay, so I'd come to terms with not having children, but now I actually can't. Even if I change my mind, it ain't happening. And there was an element, and I think a lot of women go through that at menopause if they haven't had children. So, there'd been sort of hints of that. But now, looking on the bright side, I wouldn't have been able to do this if I hadn't gone through that. So, and all the things that I've actually done. I remember about a week after we identified that the tocophobia was something that I had. I'd been thinking about getting a new website up for about a year, and I got it done in about 5 days flat. So, it really was floodgates opening. And so, I just really would want for women and men, if it's affecting men, because it can affect men, but I really want women to be able to live their whole full lives without this deep, deep, deep anxiety, because it is a deep-seated anxiety. You call it the apex anxiety, don't you, Alexia?
Yeah, well, through my work, I mean, I've been healing women of their tocophobia for 10 years now. And I started noticing some really interesting patterns or yeah, and so a lot of women that have come to me, excuse me, are also suffering typically from severe anxiety, also possibly things like OCD. And so, but when they come to me, they come to me for help with tocophobia, and they're also probably in therapy for those things and have been for many, many, many years. And they've often come to me, they often call me the last resort, thinking they said, I've tried everything, nothing, like your stuff sounds weird, but I'm going to give it a go because you're my last hope. They kind of, they often get a lot of that, which is completely fine. And so we're working on the tocophobia. And then what happens is the OCD and all the anxiety just kind of like falls by the wayside as part of the work that we're doing. And so I find that interesting because we're not trying to work on the OCD, and I'm not trying, I don't have the time, my focus is all on tocophobia. And so for me, I've come to realize that maybe we've just been looking at this wrong the whole time, that this isn't just some kind of a fear, a niche fear that belongs in the pregnancy and birth space. It's actually an anxiety disorder. It's a reproductive anxiety disorder that's been there the whole time that we just haven't been looking for. We haven't been noticing. We've never realized it was there. It's just been seeping in this insidious way, just leaching into people's mental health and their lives, like an invisible force. That no one really knows where it's come from. And until, like the woman, and then you suddenly, like me, I didn't know I had it. And then I had a positive pregnancy test, and suddenly, whoo, it just surfaced. But even when it did, I didn't know what it was. I just knew that there's no way that I could give, there's no way pregnancy, this is no, get me out of this taxi, quick, get me out of this situation. And so I still didn't know what that was. So it's interesting for me that working with women on tocophobia does also reduce their anxiety and things like OCD in a significant way, which begs the question, if you have been working on your OCD and your anxiety for many, many years, and suddenly we're now treating tocophobia, why is it now working? Why is all this stuff going away? Is it because I've got an incredible healing modality? And I'll say, obviously, yes, head
Of course you
tracking
have, yes,
is
absolutely.
incredible, and it's now healing things that eluded many other approaches. But maybe it's also because it's actually apex anxiety disorder, and it's the one that all other anxiety disorders hang off. And when you understand the roots of tocophobia, which are usually rooted in trauma, usually to do with the reproductive process, either your own birth or maybe puberty, these are all reproductive things, then maybe we start to understand that actually this is the thing that all anxiety hangs on. Because when you are born, that is the most important event of your life. And if that didn't go brilliantly for you as a baby, then that is going to set into play an emotional blueprint that you are going to wrestle with your whole life.
I can absolutely vouch for that. Well, don't go anywhere. We have to take a short break right now, but Alexia and I will be back right after these messages from our station sponsors. Can't wait. So enjoy the ads.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
Hi, I'm Will, and I created IQBar to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar, brain and body fuel. Millions of people rely on our protein bars and hydration mixes to win their day. Turns out Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, is one of them. We've teamed up with Chef Keller to craft a bar and hydration mix that marry world-class flavor with exceptional nutrition. Our special edition salted caramel chip bar delivers all the decadence of a fine dining dessert plus protein minus sugar and carbs. And our zero sugar yuzu mango hydration mix packs an authentic citrusy punch and a mental boost from lion's mane and magnesium. The best part? 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Total no-brainer.
Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQBar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and Alexia Leachman, celebrating the birth of our mental health initiative, Tick-Tocophobia. Before the break, Alexia was talking about how if our own birth doesn't go well, it can create an emotional blueprint that we will wrestle with our entire life. Here's how she continued.
The problem is, or the challenge with that, is that it's very likely that you cannot remember your birth. So you haven't got anything to point to. You can't, you know, it's pre-verbal. So all of that trauma is locked in your body, which is why tocophobia feels so visceral. It feels so powerful, and it feels so all engulfing, because it literally is in the fabric of your very being. And so this is why, for me, I want to rename tocophobia the reproductive anxiety disorder. And I want to make sure that we start changing the whole approach to treating it and understanding it so that more women can have access to the right support, but sooner in life, not when the body clock is screaming at them in their 30s and they're panicking. And that's why we called the podcast Tocophobia, because most women come to wanting support when they realize that they don't have a lot of time left. And they like, my body clock's ticking. I hear that all the time. And that's the reason they want to get the help and get this sorted, because it's now or never for them. And then now they're in the throes of stress and anxiety even more, because they've got this timeline that they're trying to work towards. They don't know when their eggs are going to not work anymore and not do the things, right? Let women discover this in their 20s when they've got time on their side to do the work, to heal, to decide whether they want kids or not. Because many women don't know if they want kids or not, because the fear is so loud, they can't figure that out for themselves. And so maybe there are women out there choosing to be childless because the fear's talking. And that obviously you can't get out of having kids, you know, once you have them, you've committed to that journey. So to give women the opportunity to really be able to think that through and not have their thoughts and feelings clouded by fear, this is what women need, which is why we need to start taking this different approach, renaming it, and start to bring this to a wider audience.
Yeah, and understanding some of the clues that will manifest, you know, if a healthcare professional is aware enough. So things like when I was younger, I just always had this notion that I would never have children. It was in my brain somehow. It was in my whole body. It was like a knowing, an inner knowing. I would never have children. Where did that come from? That came from my really traumatic birth, which I only know about because my mother told me about it, right? And if your mother hasn't told you about your birth, or, you know, if you had a traumatic birth, then how would you know? How would you know? But mine was particularly awful, apparently, you know, cord around my neck, blue baby, in an oxygen tent for 2 weeks, I'm told. You know, wasn't breastfed, all of that. So it's not a great start for a baby. And so it's no, you know, you can almost understand why totally subconsciously, I mean, deep in my subconscious, my being was saying, no.
Yeah, you do not want to do that. Don't go near that situation ever.
This is not happening ever.
Yeah.
Just not. Right. But you know, there are clues. And so saying, oh, you know, yes, with my first husband, we agreed to adopt rather than have children of our own. Why? Why would I, you know, I mean, maybe, you know, there are good reasons, but let's just explore that a bit. If somebody says to you, oh, yeah, no, we've decided not to actually have physical children, but to adopt. Maybe there's a reason for that. And it doesn't mean to say that people shouldn't be able to adopt. It's just that, are we sure that there isn't a deep-seated anxiety going on here that's the cause of this belief? That you want to do that instead of have your own children. And so, you know, these things, this manifested throughout my life, and I think it does throughout other women's lives. And I had the most awful period pains when I was menstruating, when I was younger, to the point where I would be in a fetal position on the floor, unable to move for about 4 hours every month, you know, and the heaviest periods. Well, again, you know, in discussing this with you, Alexia, we know that that's also potentially as a result of this, you know, this syndrome, if you want to call it a syndrome, of the deep anxiety that's brought about by a really traumatic birth. So, you know, there are clues, very bad period pains, difficulties in puberty, you know, pains and all sorts of issues. When you're a little bit older, I remember I was about 22 and went to the doctor with pain. He thought it might be endometriosis, had a laparoscopy, wasn't that. But before I went for the laparoscopy, he said, so, you know, if you thought about having children, just have a child, just have a baby. What? Excuse me. You know, and I did say at that point, well, my husband and I have decided that we won't have children. You know, and he looked at me as if I was absolutely mental, and said, oh, no, he said, no, no, just have a couple of babies and you'll be fine. All of this will go away. You'll be fine. That ain't a way to deal with it, really.
No, and there are lots of, I get so many women coming to me saying that they've spoken about this to their therapist, they've spoken about it to their doctor, and they just don't get, they don't, they, their fears aren't validated. They kind of get brushed off.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's all right. Your maternal feelings will kick in. Oh,
they all say that.
You'll be fine. They're not recognizing the visceral nature of this fear. And so these women aren't feeling heard. They're not being seen. And also sometimes I get invited to go and speak to the perinatal mental health team that is often near the labor ward, or they're sitting in a waiting room with loads
surrounded by pregnant
women. Which is they're often triggered by that. You've seen babies and pregnant women. I had to change my logo for my Fear Free Childbirth podcast early on because I had lots of emails from women saying, I'm getting triggered by your website. And I was like, well, that's the last thing I want. And I just had a very simple graphic silhouette figure of a pregnant woman. Mm. But even that was triggering to some. So you can imagine what being in a waiting room with pregnant women will do for somebody who wants to speak to a perinatal specialist about tocophobia. That's not how to handle that situation.
Yeah.
So there's a very widespread lack of understanding in the places where women go to for support. And this is what I want to change, is that we need to ensure that when she's going for her smear test, and a lot of women with tocophobia do not like smear tests.
I think they're just not very nice.
But I don't know if there's any woman that does like that, but I think there's probably that's an ideal opportunity for someone, a professional in that situation, to maybe ask questions around that. And then she could have a leaflet ready to go, oh, well, or direct her or say, oh, maybe you've got tocophobia. This is an ideal opportunity because we're getting these tests, you know, from our mid-20s. If not earlier. So, but also doctors need to be signposting appropriately and taking these things seriously and not waiting for them to be pregnant. I get so many women telling me they won't talk to me because I'm not pregnant, but I can't get pregnant. So they're caught in this kind of loop, this, you know, catch 22 situation where they can't access support because they need to be pregnant in order to be able to be dealt with appropriately in the system. So the system is not recognizing what we're dealing with here. And so we need to bring about a fundamental change so that women get the support, because it is not just about having babies, you know, although that is, we've got a drop in fertility rates globally, especially in the Western world. So that is now going to be a very urgent issue very quickly. But it's, you know, being able to make the child-free decision from a place of your heart speaking and not fear is important, because I've worked with many women who they wanted to make that decision and know it wasn't fear that was saying no. And even having cleared all their fears, they're like, yeah, no, I don't actually want to be a mum. And I'm at peace with that now. I know now in the depths of my heart that that's what I want. And that's what I wanted. Because they don't want to get to that point afterwards where they have like, well, what if maybe I should have da-da-da-da-da. And that's the kind of stuff that they don't want to live with. So offering women the opportunity to be able to make that call early and to release that creative life force from within them to do whatever they're going to create in their life, whether it's, if it's not going to be a baby, it can be a business or a birth or a whatever, a legacy that you can mother, you can create babies in other ways. You know, we hear there's so many ways that women can create and give life to something, and that is being held back too. So it's not just about the babies. It's about giving women this capacity to create and to live full lives, right? That's what we got to do.
Yeah, that's so true. And that's what I would have needed earlier on in my life. And there are other clues, aren't there, as well, to this issue. You know, you and I have both been that woman who, when presented with a baby, go, oh, yeah, thanks very much, now pass it on, you know.
Like it's a dirty tissue.
Yeah. And we laugh about it now, but, you know, at the time as well, you know, you felt kind of odd. You felt as if there was something wrong with you. And actually other people, you felt judged you for not being much of a woman, maybe, for not being this cooing all over a baby person. You know, that has changed in the last few months, I have to tell
you. Totally changed for me.
I know. It's just extraordinary. I ended up having cats, not literally, obviously, not giving birth to them, but I would, you know, I was a mother to my cats, and that's about it. You know, there was very little that I was able to birth that I created in my life. But these are clues. It's the, you know, can you really be comfortable sitting in a room with a lot of pregnant women talking about babies? Yes or no? No. Well, you know, maybe there's something we need to look at here. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, if you haven't got the, if you're not really up for baby conversations, up for talking about it, but also more seriously in terms of family planning conversations. That was one thing that really, that I look back and laugh at the ridiculousness of my own life now. When I think, like, when I found out I was pregnant, it was accidental. We weren't planning, obviously, because I had tocophobia. And so I think I reached the point where a friend of mine who worked for the NHS, which is the National Health Service in the UK, he was telling me that at my age I could you know, get busy with it like every week or every day, and it would take me probably 2 years to get pregnant because my eggs were all dying, you know, like such a lovely thing to say.
That was so kind. Yeah.
Yeah, I was 34, and so at that point I thought, oh, I could probably, like, you know, not get too worried if I miss the odd pill or whatever, you know. So I was on birth control, so I kind of let it slide, thinking, wow, I'm okay, and it's not going to happen. I thought I was out of the woods, right? So hence, that's how I got pregnant, by accident. But I was with a partner that I'd been with for, you know, 6 years, and I'm in my mid-30s. And one of the big things that I realised when I found out I was pregnant, and I was wrestling with it in the depths of this despair, was, I don't know if he wants kids. What if he doesn't want kids? I'm going to be a single mum. So basically what that tells you is we had never had the baby conversation. We'd never spoken about, oh, should we, are we going to have kids? Like, you know, that conversation had never happened. And we were both in our mid-30s. Like, come on. Now, he must have maybe got a vibe and maybe mentioned it. And I was clearly not open for business on that conversation. And he's like, well, I'm not going to go there again.
Yeah.
And so, but that's quite serious, because we've ended up being older parents, and I would have loved to have, like, given myself an extra 10 years and done it 10 years before I had kids, you know, because I had my first at 36 and my second at 40. Now, I would have much preferred to have done that 10 years before, because I love having kids, but it wasn't anywhere on my radar. I mean, I was blocking that in a serious way. So when it comes to family planning conversations and having a conversation about babies, you know, it gets in the way of that. And I've got, there's lots of women I've worked with where they'll, and I think I was a little bit like this as well. It's like, oh yeah, I think I might want to be a mum. Yeah, I want to be a mum. But, you know, that's like, oh, that's over there in the distance. And suddenly, you know, when things start getting closer, and you're like, well, closer as in body clock is now going, you haven't got a lot of time, sweetie, come on. That's when the women get in touch with me, because it's like the husband's going, well, you know, we've been married like a few years now, and are we going to start trying? And this is when the panic starts building. And then the reality of it starts kicking in, and it's like, oh, hang on a minute, I've got a real problem with this. And they don't necessarily realise they've got such a problem until the pressure's on. But if we could change the conversation about this so that we could be talking about this earlier, then they've got time. They don't have to feel so pressured, and they could figure this stuff out sooner, you know. So not having those conversations, not wanting to talk about it or commit to it, you know, these are clues as well.
Yeah.
In terms of trying to spot it. So if you're a guy listening to this, thinking, oh yeah, no, she's always like skirting around the issue on this one, always shuts that conversation down, well, maybe this is what's going on here, that she's got tocophobia.
Yes, so many clues that we just aren't aware of, but hopefully this is something that our work will now start to change. That's the intention anyway. The thought of bringing greater awareness to this on a large scale is really exciting, I have to say. Still more to come, but first, it's time for another break. We'll be back right after these messages from our fabulous sponsors.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
Hi, I'm Will, and I created IQBar to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. Millions of people rely on our protein bars and hydration mixes to win their day. Turns out Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, is one of them. We've teamed up with Chef Keller to craft a bar and hydration mix that marry world-class flavor with exceptional nutrition. Our special edition salted caramel chip bar delivers all the decadence of a fine dining dessert plus protein minus sugar and carbs. And our zero-sugar yuzu mango hydration mix packs an authentic citrusy punch and a mental boost from lion's mane and magnesium. The best part? 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Total no-brainer.
Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all iqbar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on the world's number one talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and with me today is Alexia Leachman, who I have joined in an initiative to raise awareness of a silent mental health issue that affects millions of women worldwide, and a redefining of the disorder from tocophobia to reproductive anxiety disorder. Before the break, we were talking about the clues that might lead to a tocophobia diagnosis, and it got me thinking about my own experience.
I was in my 40s when I was first knowingly pregnant, did a pregnancy test, and like you, the terror that went through me was just extraordinary. It was like a tsunami of terror. Didn't know where it came from, didn't know what it was, and, you know, not long after that, I miscarried. Wasn't far into the pregnancy, so, you know, it wasn't so bad, but it didn't even occur to me then that this was something. I just blocked it yeah. out of my consciousness, and, you know, it's just what it was. And I haven't really talked to that many people about it, to be honest with you, because who can understand? You were the first person I spoke to who understood what that was. It's extraordinary. It's a massively powerful anxiety disorder. And, you know, maybe we should talk about the things that we've maybe tried or people have tried and, you know, they haven't worked. We've both trained in neuro-linguistic programming and, you know, and I've trained in timeline therapy as well, hypnotherapy, that sort of thing. And in that training, we do stuff on ourselves and we work on ourselves and other people work on you. And yes, and, you know, cleared a lot of stuff, but never quite got to the bottom of this deep-seated knot in my solar plexus that just made me not feel safe. And for instance, in timeline therapy, you are encouraged to go back in your timeline to the first cause of whatever the issue is that you feel that you want to shift out of your consciousness, you know, or out of your subconscious, whatever it is that's hampering you going forward, doing whatever it is that you want to do. Now, often when we were practicing this, I would go back to my birth. But the thing is that I couldn't visualize my birth. And I know people will say, well, you don't have to, you just have to know that it's there, you know, it'll work anyway. But I think with tocophobia being such a deep-seated fear, with my birth being so traumatic, nothing was allowing me in there. Nothing. Yeah. I couldn't get through that barrier. Now, you know, I know that we can clear phobias, we can cure phobias, you know, smoking, spiders, flying. You can name them. I didn't have a name for what it was that I was trying to get rid of. I didn't even know what it was. So I think it's quite important that we have a name so that we know what it is that we're dealing with. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. And then this is, again, why the word tocophobia is wrong, because it immediately makes people think that it's like a phobia, like a spider phobia or a lift, you know, getting the claustrophobia or the other phobias that we have. And then those phobias are very simple and straightforward. You know, exactly. I had the injection phobia. So I had it really bad where I, you know, throughout my whole life until even into my mid 20s, I would never leave an injection appointment upright because I would always faint. And it was always a nightmare, and I'd absolutely panic. There was a real irrational phobia going on with injections. But that's a very straightforward phobia. It's needles, it's blood, it's pain. There's a few aspects to that. But once you've kind of used tools to kind of, you can target that quite specifically. But you try unpacking tocophobia into three, four things, you will not get there. Because the minute you unpack it, it's like trying to identify, three things that cause anxiety. It's impossible. This is why it's an anxiety disorder and not a phobia, because the minute you start unraveling tocophobia, you realize that actually most of the stuff that's going on here has got nothing to do with birth. When I work with women, I'm not working. There'll be a few things we might be very birthy, like pain in childbirth, but actually pain going to the dentist is also a thing for them, and the pain of the injection, like pain is a thing,
Pain
right? It's not
generally,
just a birth thing, right? But other than that, it's very, very human fears that we all have. It's the fear of losing control. It's the fear of not being listened to, not being heard, of being disrespected in the birth space. It's the fear of dying. It's the fear of suffering. It's, the fear of being trapped in motherhood, in parenthood. Like, these are things that everybody has going on. This is what's going on with anxiety. It's fear of change, fear of uncertainty. These are things that we all wrestle with. This isn't a birth thing that you kind of come into contact when you're pregnant. These are things that happen to everybody. And that's why it is an anxiety disorder, because the minute you unravel it, you realize that actually it mirrors anxiety. And whenever I work with people on their anxiety, I do exactly the same stuff as I do when I'm working with tocophobia. It's exactly the same way of working. In terms of using head trash clearance to heal it. So I don't treat it any differently. That's what is getting me the results. And I'm able to heal women from their tocophobia in, 5 weeks, 4 weeks. Some of them take up to 3 months if they've got complex mental health and wounding going on, emotional wounding going on. But it can very easily be done in during a pregnancy. And again, this is why women need to know that that's available to them. Because if they, like us, find out they have it the minute they see that positive pregnancy test, they have not got a long time to get this sorted. They need to get it sorted quickly. And so we need solutions that work quickly for this. There's one lady that came to me for work, and she said she went to go and see a perinatal psychologist who told her that she needed 3 years of in-depth therapy to work on this. And I was like, no, not with
Wow.
me, though. The women who are
And
pregnant haven't got that time.
no, they don't. And it is worth just underlining that, you don't have to do years of therapy to get over this. It for me, it may have lasted years, but how long did it take me to let go of that once I was able to pinpoint what it was and understood what it was and what it was doing to me? I think because I'd done so much other stuff as well, I was able to just say, okay, right, enough now. We're letting that go. Right, that can go.
Yeah,
Now that I know
that's
what it
enough,
is,
JJ. Let it go.
let it go. Just go away. And of course, I was very much ready to and understood, understood what was going on then, so could do the work myself. But it doesn't have to take, I mean, and it didn't take long. And it doesn't have to take long if you're seeing somebody like you who has the ability, the knowledge and the understanding and all the tools to hand to help women and men get over this very quickly. So yeah, so that's what we're doing now. We've got our TikTokophobia podcast, which is everywhere that you can get podcasts. We have also launched a new website called TikTokophobia.com, and you'll be able to find out much more about head trash clearance, which is Alexia's method of clearing a lot of our issues that we have in life from her website and from TikTokophobia.com. And I've set up a new website as well, another new website. This is a new one, jjstenhouse.online, where you'll find out more about my new offering. Not really a new offering, but brought it all together. And if you work it in tandem with tocophobia clearing, TikTokophobia clearing, head trash clearing, then it can really set you right. It's an energy clearing system which has great results for everybody. It will almost work as a sort of an add-on to head trash clearing, so give you a little bit more relaxation clearing your energy, giving you more power, and enabling you to go forward in life with far greater power than you had before. So these are our things. We're coming to the end now. So I think just a final thought. What do you think?
Well, the final thought is I'm really excited to see, to put this out in the world and to start changing how we can support women. And I just want to share also that I've released a white paper.
Oh, yeah. Meant to mention
on the case for reproductive anxiety disorder. So for those, maybe the mental health professionals listening that are curious to find out more about it, that want to understand my thinking behind why I think we need to rename this from tocophobia to reproductive anxiety disorder, then there is a white paper that is available for you to download, because I think this is the beginning of being able to bring about a change so that women can get the support they need.
Yeah, and I think it's very important to understand that people do not get it. When I've been talking to people about this, nobody really knows what I'm talking about until I give them a long explanation, not a long explanation, but a fuller explanation, in that it's not a phobia as such, and it's not necessarily fear of giving birth, but the effects of having had a traumatic birth. Both are kind of intertwined, but it's a lot deeper than people expect.
No, I know. And you have to start going, well, it's called tocophobia, but it's not a phobia. And it's about birth, but it's not. It's a fear of birth. It's not, like everything about the name is wrong, because you keep on to correct it as we go through it. And that's part of why we're getting in a tangle about it. So whereas if you say reproductive anxiety disorder, immediately you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Now I know what we're doing. And so this is why we need to have this. So, this is, well, got to get this out there. So thank you for inviting me on today so that we can get the word out.
Yeah, you're very welcome. I'm glad that you've come on. So we both need to really get this out into the world, because I think it's really so needed. And, we need to get past the conversations that start. Have you heard about tocophobia? No, what's that? Well, it's not a phobia. It's something much more than that. We need to get past all of that. So thank you so much, Alexia, for joining me today. Please, anybody who's been touched by what we've been talking about today, do get in touch. You can get in touch with us through the website tiktokophobia.com or Alexia's website, Head Trash Clearance. Head Trash Clearance? Yeah. And Fearless Birthing. You'll get in touch with us through all of those. And please don't be afraid to get this sorted out, because life will be so much better if you do. So thank you. And since we recorded that, there are now two white papers available to download from our website, tiktokophobia.com. I better spell that out, actually. It's tiktokophobia.com. The two white papers are The Case for Reproductive Anxiety Disorder that we mentioned before, and also Fear Sells But It Doesn't Serve, which puts the case for a more ethical and supportive reporting of birth and birth trauma. You'll also be able to download the podcast from the website, but it's available wherever you listen to podcasts, and there's a link through to our TikTokophobia YouTube channel on our website too. I think that's all for now about TikTokophobia, except to say that we have channels on all the socials now, so do please follow us there as well. My own new website has been delayed slightly, so if you can't get onto it, remember to try again in a couple of days. That's jjstenhouse.online. But the practicalalchemist.uk is still going strong and will continue to do so. No time for a plant of the day today, but a couple of fun facts around flowers and childbirth. Did you know, for instance, that jonquil symbolise new birth and beginnings, apparently because they bloom so early in spring? I do love them. And you might give roses for a newborn because they symbolise love, of course, while carnations represent motherhood as well as love and gratitude. Which brings us to the end of the show. All that's left is for me to say how grateful I am for all of you listening. Thank you. Join me next time for more great guests, more information, and more practical alchemy. Until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.